morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels.
Oh, indeed. Sharpen them right now. Might want to sharpen your phone skills because our phone lines are open. Toll free at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is in with us today, as he always is on Saturday. How you doing, young man?
Doing just fine.
Yes, indeed.
Much on these delicious almonds you gave me.
Well, we had some cool weather here. How's that treating your line of work? And, of course, our plants in general. Seems like some of my grass came back to life.
Yep, you bet. We need some rain, though.
A little.
You guys need to get on the ball and get some rain in here. What's the matter with you?
Look at the forecast.
Look at that. Nothing.
Sunny and 80.
It's like San Francisco. The same thing every day.
Yeah.
Except it's like 60 over there.
Yeah.
Sunny 60.
Yeah, it's going to be sunny 80 probably through next Sunday.
Yeah. Finally, an environment in which we can get some work done.
Indeed.
Yeah, and we're plugging along on our schedule.
Are you a bunch of tree planting fools these days, aren't you?
Yeah, I know.
A lot of trees going out at the nursery.
You bet. We sold a ton of trees, so that's good to know. A lot of oxygen going in the air. Anyway, fall is in the air. The heat is off, so time to get to work. We got some beautiful fall mums right now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, these things are like as big around this table right here. About as big around as you can reach.
Kind of like a barrel. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But anyway, they're good size, and they're about to burst, so the weather's just right for them, only the rain's just not quite right. So you want to make sure. Now, all the roots are right there in that one little pot. So you want to make sure that they are properly watered. On occasion, almost daily to begin with. It doesn't hurt them to wilt a little bit, but you do want to go ahead and make sure the soil around them is moist, as well as the soil in the potted root ball, so the roots will go out into the soil.
Let them grow.
You really can't do a schedule on it because there's so many variables. As far as drainage is concerned, soil type is concerned, temperature, wind, sun, all those factors play into how often you have to water a plant. So typically, I like to just water fairly heavily when they begin to wilt.
There you go.
It doesn't hurt them to wilt a little bit. It doesn't mean they're dying. They're just a little thirsty. And use a cool hose.
Yeah, that hot water that's just staying in your hose, that's a good way just to kind of, well, not really scald your plants, but it's not going to help them at all. Oh, it's going to hurt them.
It got so hot you couldn't even touch the hose.
Yeah, it did.
It was hot.
I've seen that.
Golly. Really? Yeah. But anyway, so make sure the water's fairly cool when you put them on there. We also have some new roses, flowering kale, and the pansies and violas.
Oh, yes.
The colors at this point are kind of limited. As they become available, we'll have all kinds of new colors of pansies and kale. But right now, We just have stock colors, if you will.
Okay.
But we'll have some more as the growers get them ready. We draw from several growers and get the best of what they have when we get those things.
Sweet.
So anyway, we planted a bunch of pansies yesterday and some kale, cabbage, if you will, flowering cabbage in the garden. And I think they're going to be really nice. I do like this cool weather. It's not only good for your fall blooming plants and things, it's kind of good for your grass, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's, golly, with this stretch of weather we got coming on, if you need to plant some fescue seed, take advantage of it because it's just the ideal conditions coming up. It was a little cool this morning. What was it?
52.
Holy cow. Here we go. So that's just perfect weather for getting fescue established.
Okay.
Fescue is a cool season grass. Cool season meaning it thrives in the cool weather. It kind of goes dormant in the summer. Quite the contrary to, say, Bermuda grass or zoysia grass, which is very actively growing at that point in time. Unless you forget to water it, then it
doesn't grow at all.
Yeah, it doesn't grow at all. It's kind of. But anyway, the Bermuda grass, if your Bermuda grass did die off, like it did in my yard in some places, because I don't have any soil.
Ooh.
And,
at that limestone slab.
You come home late and you look at, it's brown. You go back and go to the house. It'll green up. It'll do just fine. when the weather fall weather kicks in. You don't want to emphasize a lot of growth on your Bermuda grass right now. You do want to kind of suppress rapid growth on your Bermuda grass. Uh-huh. If you're getting Bermuda grass established at this point in time, you want to use, say, a 10-20-10 fertilizer. You don't want to use a high nitrogen fertilizer. Uh-huh. You want the roots to get established before it gets cold. Uh-huh. The you do stand. Excuse me, goodness. Uh-huh. Almonds. You do tend to lose about 10% of your Bermuda grass if you do install it in the fall. And I'm okay. It's all right now. Thank you, guy. Boy, that's a big tank of water. Man, I don't think I'll make it through the show if I eat that. I drink that, rather. But anyway, getting Bermuda grass established is possible. Mm-hmm. But you do want to water it real good, and you don't want to put too much nitrogen on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe some 10-20-10 on it. That's about all you really want to do mm-hmm. at this point in time on the Bermuda grass. Mm-hmm. And secondarily is weeds in the lawn. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. You remember the henbit and the Poa annua? There's this obnoxious weed. We had a real bad problem this
spring.
Last spring with Poa annua, which is a annual bluegrass. And it comes up in these little tufts and it looks like Easter grass. That's what I call it, Easter grass, but anyway. And it's a fairly obnoxious weed because mm-hmm. it grows when the Bermuda grass is dormant. You get the splotchiness and green here and there. And you can control it with some Roundup after the Bermuda grass has gone dormant.
Okay.
But it doesn't make much of a presence, really, until about Valentine's Day. And then we get you usually have a couple of days where it's 85 degrees in February.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff just takes off.
That's the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, the Poa annua. And people come to the nursery screaming mad, how do I get rid of this stuff? Well, you should have done something back in September.
And what is that something? A little Roundup?
Put a pre-emergent herbicide on right
pre-emergent now. Herbicide.
If you really don't want the Poa annua right now is the time to do that.
Got it.
So, and there are several varieties of pre-emergents you can use. We recommend the Prodiamine because it is fairly economical. Mm-hmm. It is long-lasting, and it's easy to apply, and it's not overly toxic to your other plants.
Sweet.
So that's kind of why we carry that one variety, because it's kind of kinder and gentler, but the weeds don't like it.
Yeah.
So anyway, now's a good time to do that. I did my yard a couple weeks ago with some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that works out.
Sweet, sweet.
Okay, cool. Anyway, as far as mowing the grass, don't scalp your Bermuda grass right now. You want that blanket on there to help it tolerate the cold in the winter. Typically, this is kind of a thing that happens in the wintertime when a cold spell comes through. It kind of sweeps across the plain.
Oh, yeah.
Gathers up all the moisture and turns into precipitation. Usually we have some rain before it gets cold, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always happen. If we get a real cold spell coming in, when the weather gets down in the single digits or down in the zeros or sub-zero weather without precipitation happening, and if we're in a dry spell, which is very common because it is rather dry here in the winter, mm-hmm. it can cause some damage to your grasses and shrubs and things.
So, you don't want that.
So you don't want to really generate a whole lot of top growth right now. It takes away from the strength of the Bermuda grass.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be very strong. You want the stolons on it to be good and strong. So that's why you don't really put on a lot of nitrogen at this point. Mm-hmm. So it can harden off for the winter.
There you go. As we kind of prepare for the big seasonal changes.
Right. Now, you've got a couple of weeks at the end of this month. You're just too late. So you want to get on the ball and get that final.
Well, you've got perfect weather in which to get it done.
Right. Only
sunny
if you don't
and 80.
Have rain.
It's true.
So when you do fertilize, it's a good idea to make sure the soil is moist before fertilizing.
Uh-huh.
And then moist afterwards or water it afterwards.
Water
right now,
fertilized
the moisture
water.
Level's pretty good in the soil right now. So it'll probably transmit to the soil fairly effectively if you water it in real good.
Yeah.
But if you have a situation where the soil is really dry, you want to precede your fertilization with some water, mm-hmm. water it in, push the button in the garage on the timer, you know. and then put down your
fertilizer. Larry, do it on your cell phone.
On your cell phone, yeah, we got those. And then you want to water it afterwards, too, to get it so it'll diffuse into the soil.
Very good. Good information to know. Mm-hmm. It's 8:18. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program. Don't forget, you can always call in if you have a question or comment for Larry at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
It's Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds' strategic sales team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and greenhouses.
This month, Bartlesville Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Truck. We're offering $13,500 off on select new 2020 Ram Trucks. $8,000 off on select Jeep Cherokee. No payments till 2021. And even 0% financing up to 72 months on select model right now at Bartlesville CDJ. Bartlesville CDJ.
Rolling out.
Trucks like you won't believe. You pick it out and we'll work it out.
When you're hungry, head to Egbert's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And for you breakfast lovers, they serve breakfast all day long. Egbert's has 5 locations in the area: Bartlesville, Claremore, Caney, Coffeyville, and Independence. Hungry? Stop in at Egbert's for dine-in, carry-out, and even order your meal online. Egbert's hours are Sunday through Thursday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 6 a.m. to midnight. That's Egbert's Restaurant.
Good morning. It is 8:21, and you're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom, and he's Larry Glass, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. What do we have going on?
Trees. We got some new trees in.
Yeah.
And much to my surprise, we have a couple of male Kentucky coffee trees. Gymnocladus dioecia.
Easy for you to say.
This member of the legume family is unique in that it is bipinnately compound.
All right.
Ooh.
What's that mean?
They're an indigenous species.
Okay.
And they're extremely hardy as far as heat is concerned, the cold is concerned, the wet is concerned, the dry is concerned. They have a very heavy root system and fairly strong wooded. So, interesting plant, really. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, might look into those. Yeah. And we have all kinds of maple trees, too. Mm-hmm. Which give you excellent fall color.
Oh,
good,
yeah.
Good growth habit and all that. And some of the hybrids. Anyway, we do have some of the hybrid red maples, too.
Sweet.
Which are very aggressive growing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly sturdy, also. Haven't seen one break up in a storm yet. Freeman I, that's the word I couldn't come up with.
There we go.
Freeman I varieties of red maple.
It's almost like it was made for this place.
Exactly. But anyway, they grow fairly aggressively. Uh-huh. They have good branching structure and good strength on them, too. In the storms we've had, I've not seen one of them yet get broken up. So
that's good.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's...
You don't want that tree to become a house plant.
House plant. Gotcha.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, actually, all has to do with choosing where they're planted to.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to somebody's house a couple of weeks ago, and I could reach from one hand to the other, stretched out my arms, it was that close to the house. And I said, well, that's kind of a no-no.
Yeah. Your foundation's not going to like that tree.
No, it isn't. No. So when it gets cold after we've had a cold spell, you might consider relocating that tree.
Yeah.
Way too close to the house. Yeah. I think in this case, they just didn't have the space for it. But they wanted something with some color. But still, something an Amer maple would have worked a lot better in that situation. Or Shantung maple would have been a good one, too. Mm-hmm. The Shantung is a kind of a more compact, smaller growing maple. It does have some good fall color on it. So a ginkgo tree would probably work, too. But they grow kind of slow.
Yep, they do. So they're beautiful trees,
though. You plant one when you're 25 years old, and maybe by the time you're tired, it'll make a good tree. No, they actually do grow pretty quick. But
I want you to be able to enjoy it. Anyway, something for the grandkids.
There are a lot of tree species out there, and amongst my favorite amongst the oaks, of course, is the northern red oak. I was driving by a house the other day, the worst soil in town, over there in Fairview area. Mm-hmm. And it's just happy as a clam.
The thing's just growing like crazy.
So really, if you really want to know what's the best tree to plant in your yard, you can have me come out. I can show you where.
There you go.
What kind of tree would work very well in your situation. Mm-hmm. Or just give me an address and I'll pretty well know. I've been here for 40 years.
There's a man who knows nearly every yard in the three-county area.
I know your dirt. I said, oh, yeah, what's his name? He used to live in that house. Yeah, I know that one.
Well, you know, you've got that wonderful program, that CAT program that you got. But, you know, you also have the horticulturalist eye. You just know what's going to work. And it's almost like an artist. I hope I'm not making you blush a little bit here. But
not at all.
You know exactly how this composition is going to play out, and this is why you need an expert a lot of times to make it work right.
There's several factors when considering a composition. Yes. A lot of times I have these preconceptions, and they absolutely fall apart.
Oh.
Because after meeting with the customer and talking to them, that's not their envision. Uh-huh. So you try to glean from from them some idea of what they really think would look good as far as the
landscape. What do you want? Let's see if we can make it work.
Yeah, what do you want? No, but we do. And
you want oak with that?
That's the purpose of the interview.
Yeah.
And I met with a guy a couple weeks ago, and he's moved here from some other place. I don't remember where. But anyway, California, I think, something like that. Mm-hmm. And he wanted something very conservative, something very easy to grow. He didn't know anything about Bermuda grass.
I'm not surprised. From there, you wouldn't know.
So I gave him a design, which had one bed out in the back, which the view out the windows, really nice bank of windows in the back, looking out at a telephone pole. I gave him a design that would kind of hide that a little bit with a big crepe myrtle and some maiden grasses and things, and
make it look.
He really liked it. Yeah. So I was able to go ahead and take the view from the house out exactly what it's going to look like, so they can see. And you put a power pole in there and so on. It looks kind of nice. But anyway,
so made it work.
It was a very conservative landscape. The beds weren't really too large, and we had some trees in there. He wanted some afternoon shade for the trees. And it's a fairly large lot, too. So we put a row of trees along the fence row. Wait, Louisiana, this is where he was from. Yeah,
oh, Louisiana, here, yeah.
And I said, well, you need some water oaks. Absolutely not. After living down there, the water oaks are kind of scorned down south. But up here, their growth is tempered by the lack of soil nutrients and the lack of soil, period. Mm-hmm. And the climate kind of tempers the growth of them, too. They're a sturdier tree here, but you wouldn't go that way. So we went with red maples and red oaks.
That's going to be a pretty set. It really is.
It is. It's going to be really nice. And it's a very, very simple landscape, and one that he can manage. It's just in a matter of, hours, not even that long, in a week. So,
wow, nice.
So that... that one was customer driven, and we did another design, a fairly extensive landscape around the house, and kind of a southwestern look, and that was customer driven too, and she showed me some pictures of what she wanted, and I came up with the design, and showed them the design, and they liked it, so.
That's how it goes.
We got done with that a couple of weeks ago.
But that just sounds like having so much fun doing that.
What I think isn't always what the customer has envisioned.
I understood.
So we have to kind of translate what they're talking about and what they really like. Some of them give me pictures of what they really like, too, and come up with something so we can kind of capture the essence of their envision in a way that's practical for the customer as far as maintenance is concerned, survivability of the plants is concerned.
That's key.
The soil or lack thereof around the house. And the time in which and their abilities to maintain these plants. All of these factors have to play in there.
Very good.
So once you get that common denominator, you make the first presentation, they absolutely hate it. It's okay, let me come back and redo it. And then we can arrive at a conclusion. The advantage of the CAD program is you can manipulate it fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school at University of Georgia, and we used pen and ink. Yeah. And, golly, we'd make a base map on a reverse sepia, which is a sepia print.
Yeah.
And then you do your drawing on top of that, then you run it through the blueprint machine, and the professor hacks it to bits. But I still have my reverse sepia.
You do?
A copy of that, which I can use, and it's kind of the same thing. You know, you really need to learn to design with pen and ink, really.
Yeah, you do.
That's my thought on it.
Back
to basics, and it makes you think a little bit more.
More deliberate.
Exactly. So anyway, so we're quite busy right now. We've been doing quite a few drainage projects this year in light of the rain and all that, and there's a new code out, building code. When you build a house, it has to fall away from the house. Imagine that.
Imagine that. No, I want a moat in my basement. No, nobody wants that.
Yeah, the house is not a retaining wall. It's not a dam. The water has to flow away from the house at all points before it drains off the property.
There you go.
So I think that's going to solve a lot of problems.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been doing some of those drains. We did one this week.
Getting rid of those self-inflicted wounds that some of the builders had a long time ago.
So anyway, I just follow the simple premise that water runs downhill. So
let gravity take care of it, man.
So in a lot of cases, there simply is not enough gravity. And there were three cases this year when we had to insert energy in order for the water to get out. And that comes as a form of a pump. And really, sump pumps, it's not a big panic if you have to put in a sump pump. They're not that expensive.
No.
And sometimes you just don't have enough gravity to carry the water away from around your house out to the street. So you insert energy into the equation, and it works.
There you go.
Number one, you want to get a good, reliable pump. Mm-hmm. And I like to use a cast iron pump, a good, sturdy one that's going to last for years. And number two, you got to size your pipe properly. You know, all these little factors have to go in. Your slope of your pipe, all this stuff, all these factors play.
Do the homework, folks.
And also, if you tie in your downspouts, you've got to consider that it's going to carry some debris. And that's got to be carried out, too. And it comes down, if you have a gravity system, that comes down to what kind of pipe you use. And I like the good smooth-walled PVC pipe. Because it just goes right
straight down.
Right on through. There's nothing to get snagged on. It goes right on through.
Just like going through that tube with the old water slide.
Exactly.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back here in just a moment. It is 8:32, and we will return here after this 2-minute timeout.
What's up? My name is Leanna Crawford, and I'm so excited to get to invite you to a very special event called Freedom Fire in Bartlesville, Oklahoma at Unity Square. It's a free social distancing event. We're going to be all spread out, but we're going to all come together as believers, and I believe that God does something amazing when we all get together. So I cannot wait to see you at Freedom Fire 2020.
Freedom Fire 2020 this evening at 5.
Pop party planning on a reunion committee? Is your dream wedding in the near future? Hi, I'm Myra, and K1, KYFM, KRIG, KPGM is proud to present the 3rd Annual Celebration and Wedding Showcase featuring small businesses Sunday afternoon, October 11th at Price Tower Plaza and Tower Center at Unity Square. Meet and greet local vendors who offer goods and services for your special events or for your home. Admission is free with great door prices. If you have a business, this is the ideal place for you to be. Call me, Myra, at the radio station, 918-336-1001, and let me tell you how you can be part of this special event. It's the 2020 K1, KYFM, KRIG, KPGM Celebration and Wedding Showcase featuring small businesses. Sunday, October 11th, we hope to see you there. Let the fun begin.
Roman Chevrolet Buick, a.k.a. Silverado City, is Kansas's number one dealer. The 2020 Chevy Silverados are arriving daily, like the black 2020 Silverado 1500 RST with four-wheel drive and all-star edition crew cab, yours for $47,250. Check out the 2020 Buick Envision that's reduced by more than $11,000. Plus, Roman's has used vehicles starting under $5,000. Ask about free delivery of your new purchase when you shop at Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Independence, your Silverado City.
Good morning. It is 8:34. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Larry Glass, our expert. I'm Tom Davis, and your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, where were we here? We were talking drainage a little bit ago.
Drainage, yeah, the water runs downhill.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to go.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Anyway, tree of the week is a Korean dogwood, or Cornus calza.
Okay.
Native China, Korea, and Japan, as indicated by the name, I would say.
Yeah.
Hardy to zone 5 to 8. It'll take all the cold weather Oklahoma has to dish out.
Mm.
It's deciduous. It grows kind of slow because it doesn't really get that big. It will take sun to part shade and a well-drained soil. So what else is new? They all do that. this tree has kind of a medium texture to it. As far as it doesn't have a big leaf. It doesn't have a little leaf. It's kind of a medium-sized leaf.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of blends in nicely. And it kind of a vase shape when young and kind of rounded with horizontal branching with age, aren't we all? Mm-hmm. This one gets about 20 to 30 feet tall and about 15 to 20 feet wide. So it's not a huge tree altogether.
No.
And leaves are, we have a color?
Yeah, I do believe
okay,
we do.
Put them on.
Hi, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air with Larry Glass.
Good morning. Larry, why aren't the tomatoes ripening now?
It was, mine did the same thing. They put on tomatoes and they were green forever. Then it cooled down. Now I can't eat them all. So they should start to ripen real soon with this cooler weather.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. I got a bunch of them finally.
Yeah, I know. I got a bunch on mine, too. And I picked up about 8 tomatoes last night. We ate
well,
every one. Ate every one of them.
Come over to your house. I'll check it out here in a couple of days. See if I can find
well,
it.
Well, there ain't nothing there but green ones now, so.
All right, I'll be patient.
All right, they'll green up.
All right, we got another call. Let's go ahead to line 12. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning. What do we do with our Bermuda grass right now? What kind of fertilizer and stuff do we put on it?
Fertilizer, you want to use something with some phosphorus in it? Like a 10-20-10 or something like that, something with fairly low nitrogen levels to get those stolons hard enough for the winter.
Okay.
You don't want
what about a pre-emergent?
Perfect time for pre-emergent also. There are several varieties of pre-emergent herbicides out there. Most any of them will really work. But you want to get that down to stop. There's three or four target weed pests you want to control. And that is Poa annua, the chickweed, the henbit, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So right now is the time to get that because there's a cool season. Dandelions, 2 degrees, too. You will control your dandelions also with a pre-emergent.
Okay. What is the best fescue to put down right now, seed-wise?
We have a product called Five Star, and we've sold it for 20 years or so. And it does a very good job. It has several different varieties in it, and they're listed on the bag. I don't remember them. But you have different textures and colors and sizes of fescue grass. So I think it makes a very attractive blend. Some of my customers have put it down. I've been to their house and looked at it, and it's done quite well here.
Okay, it's called Five Star?
Five Star, yep.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
All right,
thanks
for calling.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program. Another call coming in on line 17. And here we go. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Uh-huh. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I had a situation this year with cantaloupe that I've never experienced.
Oh.
And they never really turned ripened in appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Still had that green tint, and I've always mulched my garden with about 6 to 8 inches of leaves
right
over the years.
Uh-huh.
And the bottom 25% of the cantaloupe, and I check them every day after I first noticed a couple, bottom 25% or 30% of the fruit, I've used the word rot, but... And I guess that's appropriate.
Right.
But the rest of the plant was great, or the rest of the fruit was great. And so I just cut that bottom 20 or 25, 30% off, and, you know, and we kept the rest of it.
Right.
I've never had it happen before. Any ideas?
Check your soil pH.
Well, we just updated that last year, ran a test, and did everything that they were wanting done.
All right. You could also, you might even have a calcium deficiency.
Okay.
In the soil. And that's gypsum would help a whole lot.
I put some of that down.
Really?
Maybe I need more. Yeah.
Well, you've done everything just right.
that's what we thought.
Yeah.
Never had the problem before I did this pH test and all that with K-State, you know, extension.
Uh-huh.
And put everything down the way they said, tilled it all in a couple times. And,
right. Did the soil analysis, did it indicate magnesium content in the soil?
Oh, I'm sure it did, but I'm on the road, so I don't remember exactly, but I can look at that. So I'm writing down calcium and then magnesium, and I'll check that.
Yeah.
But that had never happened before.
Right. Yeah, so, also, it could also be a fungal problem, too. You might want to consider maybe rotating your crops or maybe planting something different there for a year or two.
Yeah. Well, what this is basically my tomato garden,
mm-hmm.
and a few peppers and that kind of thing.
Right.
And volunteers come up every year.
Oh.
So they come up in different places throughout the garden.
It's the volunteers, yes.
Yeah. I've always gotten good production.
Even from the volunteers?
Oh, yes. More than we could eat.
That's interesting.
Give them away.
Okay, you've got really good genetic material. Congratulations. No.
Well, I don't know what to say, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just puzzling.
Yeah.
And I listened to you every Saturday. So
now, have you done a real good turnover in October? You turn over the soil real good and let it keep it open all winter? Okay, so you're following all the guidelines.
In fact, I do it in October, and then I do it in January or February. In those nice days, I till it deep again.
Huh.
So,
well, other than perhaps an anomalous weather, you're up in Kansas, right?
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. Well,
you've gotten all of our rain, so.
Oh yes.
So maybe it's just a wet season.
Well, that was the only other guess I had, but I was just at a loss.
Yeah.
And like I say, we had a lot of production, so
I'm
just curious.
It's difficult to say. I would say it sounds like you've basically covered all the bases. I would probably put down maybe some more gypsum and perhaps some Epsom salts with that this fall or winter sometime. And I think you'll probably do much better, perhaps.
All right. And you were talking about your tomato production right here last week or two or three.
Uh-huh.
I'm picking about 200 tomatoes every 4 or 5 days.
My goodness.
Wow.
It's because you have all of our rain.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll keep it up here.
Sounds like you've got some really good soil there, too.
Well, we've worked on it.
Yeah, sounds good. So.
All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy your show.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
Caney, Kansas, the land of 200 tomatoes. I like that. That's just awesome. Good call.
What else do you eat when you have so many tomatoes?
Does it matter?
Nothing. No, you can't. You cannot beat homegrown tomato.
Ain't nothing
bitter.
Yeah, it's tasty. It is 8:43. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be right back with more of your calls and a lot more of Larry right here on the Green Country Gardener program. And we'll be back after this 2-minute, 12-second timeout.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden Mums, Pansies, and Flowering Kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
Mr. Clean Car Wash is open.
We are open for business, and we have a manager special, which is $20, which includes our platinum package with an extra coat of carnauba wax, a 48-hour rain guarantee, the microfiber towel. It comes with the free towel. Just come back. If you're not happy with your wash, come back within 48 hours, enter the code on the 5-digit code on the bottom, and you'll get a free bronze wash.
With your safety in mind.
Wiping down the auto sentries after about every 2 or 3 people come by, wiping off all the vacuum handles with good bleach and water.
Mr. Clean.
Time to paint the house before fall hits. Peters True Value in Dewey has Easy Care Ultra Premium or Easy Care Platinum interior or exterior paint for $15 off each gallon you buy. For $15.99 per gallon, you can get Zinsser interior and exterior primer sealer. Save $4 with mail-in rebate. Pick up a 32-gallon Rubbermaid trash can for $17.99. Pick up a 1.1 gallon of ready-to-use Ortho Insect Killer for $9.99, saving $3 with instant in-store rebate. Hurry to Peter's True Value in Dewey and save.
Well, it's one for one.
Dean Z, the ultimate Elvis, named by Elvis Presley Enterprises as the world's number one Elvis tribute artist. Live at the Clay Cooper Theater in Branson, Missouri. Dean Z, the ultimate Elvis, is a musical journey spanning the 20-year career of the king of rock and roll. From his rise to fame in the 1950s to his infamous Las Vegas performances of the 1970s. For tickets, call the box office at 417-332-2529 or visit claycoopertheater.com.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. It is 8:45. I'm Tom. He's Larry Glass. And your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. That is toll free. Larry.
Right. And also, getting back to the Korean dogwood.
Yep.
It's a fairly small tree, about 20 to 30 feet tall, 15 to 20 feet wide. It seems kind of big, but when you get outside in the landscape, it ain't. Anyway, the leaves are 2 to 4 inches. A simple dark green leaf, and a reddish purple to scarlet fall color.
So nice.
This one, and oh, the dogwoods last fall were beautiful.
They were.
And I think this year is going to be a good color for them too. So, but anyway, they have a 2 to 4 inch flower, depending on the variety. There's some, now we got some bigger blooms, a variety of the Korean dogwood. And about they bloom about 2 to 3 weeks after the Cornus florida. The one we're all familiar with is the indigenous to this country dogwood. They're available in white or pink colors, and there's a red one too. So anyway, what I like about this is three very important words: resistant to anthracnose.
There you go.
Now, we have a little bit of a problem with our dogwoods here in our varying climate when it rains for 3 weeks at a time.
When the monsoon, gentle monsoon.
And then the rain quits and it dries up. Well, usually when we have a lot of rain like that, the dogwood tree is not acclimated to our heavy soil. And it's wet all the time. We have a little bit of anthracnose problems and some root rot and so on. Then it gets hot and they just turn over.
Yeah. Can't so keep their feet
this one's
very long,
a little bit more resistant. It has also a the Korean dogwood has a reddish globular shaped fruit on it. Looks almost like a raspberry, if you will. And they are somewhat edible in that it won't kill you if you eat it. but they are and the wildlife, birds and things like the fruit too. So
good.
It's a good plant. It's kind of a small tree, good to have in landscape. And one thing I like about it is the flower, is being smaller like that, you can actually be at eye level for the flowers for the most part.
Wow, that's
nice. I've planted a dogwood on the east side of my house. And to the right of it is a pergola and the shed and all that. Well, it grew up. And the only way I can see the blooms is to climb up on the roof of the house. They're all up there.
Way up there.
So anyway, somebody gets to enjoy it. Maybe somebody in an airplane or something. But anyway, it's done
take
very well.
Take your drone out, Larry. Put the camera on there.
And this one, and it, the bark on has a mottled look and is of interest. Mm-hmm. And speaking of mottled look, somebody brought a picture of a tree into the nursery, the bark of which was just peeling off. Just peeling off. Like it's been scratched or something with something and it's all coming off. And they didn't know what species of tree it was. I looked at it, well, that's a Chinese elm. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of them in town are doing that right now. They have their baby bark, if you will. And as they grow up, you wind up with a kind of a mottled, almost a camouflage. Look to the bark.
Okay.
Red alert. But anyway, right. And that's just the old bark sloughing off and the new bark coming on. It's kind of orange in color, too. It looked rather alarming. I said, I don't have to worry about it. It's the Chinese elm. They're losing their bark, their young bark. So.
Wow. It's just maturing. That's all.
Exactly. So,
wow.
So anyway. So that's,
well, I bet that put a lot of fears to rest.
You did, yeah. It's just natural.
Do we have to cut it down? No, it's growing.
Well, she didn't know what kind of tree it was.
That, yeah.
And the resolution on the image wasn't good enough to really tell.
Yeah.
But I found a place on the picture where it was resolute enough to see the jagged edge of the leaf. And so it's a Chinese elm. So that's natural, don't worry. And the color's good. Typically on a Chinese elm, if the bark falls off and there's something wrong, the leaves will fall off first. These leaves were healthy and green, which is unusual for a tree this time of the year, but nonetheless, they were healthy and green, and the bark was falling off and doing the tree just fine.
That's good to know.
So anyway, shrub of the week is pieris. If there's a plant that's generally not suited for this area, that's pieris. However, there are some climates. You can create a microclimate. You can create a niche, if you will, for this plant to grow.
Anyway, how do we do that?
It's a rounded and compact evergreen shrub and something to offer about every season. In late winter or early spring, it produces scented white to pink flowers in showy hanging clusters, pendulous clusters. The flowers are bell-shaped, kind of like blueberry or lily of the valley, also called lily of the valley shrub, too, by the way.
All right.
And about a quarter inch long and producing 6-inch long panicles clustered. Anyway, it's kind of an interesting drooping flowering habit. It can be quite showy, too, depending on the variety. The leaves on it are kind of interesting, too, because as they emerge, they're red as they come out, and they have good fall and winter color on them, too. It's an evergreen plant, too. So it'll work in the same place your azaleas will work. Uh-huh. It likes a very loamy, peaty kind of soil and acidic soil, if you will.
Okay.
So if you live in a part of town where you're shielded with a lot of trees and things, it'll make kind of an interesting specimen plant. But it does something almost all year round. So good, cool plant. Pieris.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't make a big show of them. Occasionally here and there, maybe put some in
an
the composition. I like the way they naturalize with stones and boulders and things.
Oh,
they look really nice with that, too. The way the arching habit kind of hangs over them, kind of nice, too. So pieris, it's got a few fruits. I wouldn't eat them, but and also right after they bloom, you do want to cut the flowers off. It encourages better blooms the next year. So anyway, I like this because of its multi-season interest. The fall color is nice. The summer color is nice, and it just makes an attractive plant all summer long.
Nothing wrong with attractiveness.
Sure.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program in just a moment after this 2-minute, 4-second timeout.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. 8 planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only 2 planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
Mr. Clean Car Wash is open.
We are open for business, and we have a manager special, which is $20, which includes our platinum package with an extra coat of carnauba wax, a 48-hour rain guarantee. The microfiber towel comes with a free towel. Just come back. If you're not happy with your wash, come back within 48 hours, enter the code on the 5-digit code on the bottom, and you'll get a free bronze wash.
With your safety in mind.
Wiping down the auto sentries after about every 2 or 3 people come by, wiping off all the vacuum handles with good bleach and water.
Mr. Clean.
Good morning. It is 8:54 and a half, and our phone lines are open here on the Green Country Gardener Program at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is our expert. I'm Tom Davis. I just kind of hang around and have fun. And I'm kind of like a listener who just gets to come in here and play. I learned so much from you.
You know how to push all them buttons.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. I'm just 3 genes from a monkey. But you, on the other hand... very, very learned man, and I've learned a lot from you.
Anyway, pansies. Yeah. I'm going to talk about pansies right now. You think, oh, pansy, remember in high school?
Oh, you pansy.
You pansy. No, quite the contrary.
These are kind of hardy, aren't they?
They're hardy plants. Yeah.
Pretty hardy for a pansy.
Anyway, the pansy is related to violas. Yeah. That big instrument that's difficult to carry. Oh. Yeah, that's right. And the group of plants in which Johnny Jump-Ups are related. Uh-huh. Johnny Jump-Ups, there's a type of viola. It's kind of the indigenous natural form of a pansy or viola. But anyway, I had them all over my yard every spring. Oh, they're kind of cool. So I preserve my Johnny Jump-Ups. Anyway, they're a large genus. Where was I? Containing about 500 different species. So there are a lot of different varieties of these pansies and things. So it's a real broad-based thing. We have the big giant pansy blooms. Uh-huh. And some little ones, too. And the violas will be ready soon. So anyway, they're very popular, and they're easy to grow. Uh-huh. And the thing about pansies is they're a cool season grass. Uh-huh. And you really want to get them into the landscape before it gets too cold. Because the root system has to develop in order for it to tolerate the cold, for it to make it into the next spring. Mm-hmm. So you plant them in the ground, they look really good for a while, it gets really cold, and they look like, oh my God, somebody ran over them.
Oh my goodness.
When it gets cold. But that's quite the contrary. As soon as it warms up, say the middle of February or something, they have some consistent warm weather, they grow very quickly, then recover from the winter damage. And they make a really, really nice show. Well into May or so. So anyway, kind of a one secret way to do that is when you do plant them, don't really plant a whole bunch of them, but leave some space in between them. And when the spring comes around, you can plant some annuals. Mm-hmm. in between there. And as the annuals grow, the pansies get a little smaller. They kind of fade out in the heat. And your whatever you plant, the periwinkles or something like that, will take over the pansies and hide them. And as they die, they'll just kind of fizzle out and you just take over. What that does is give you basically annual color all year round.
Which is nice.
Yeah, so... So just don't plant them all in a row or something. Or in a, you might want to plant a group here and a group there and so on. Leave a little bit of room in between. So when spring comes around, you'll be able to plant some other things that will take over their space.
Very good.
So anyway, they like as much sun as you can give them. Mm-hmm. Pretty much good full sun to part sun, that kind of a thing. And they really don't do very well in the shade. You don't have very many blooms and so on. But in the sun, they do quite well. I plant those on the west side of my house. They do quite well there. And there's a little bit on the south side where they get some sunshine over there, too. They don't tolerate drought real well. So being rather cold in the winter, you do want to irrigate them on occasion. And one practice when planting the pansies is to put blood meal around them. That the nitrogen in that is easily accessible to the plant. There's a simple rule when using the blood meal is don't do it when it's going to be hot, because it's a very available, very hot form of nitrogen, and it can cause some burning of the plants too.
You want that.
So you want to be very careful about that. And another attribute of the blood meal is rabbits don't like it.
Well, that's a good thing.
So rabbits love pansies.
It's a salad bar. Come on.
Yeah. So that's one good thing. That's kind of a repellent, if you will, a little bit of that, too. So.
Good to know.
So, yes, we planted pansies and have been raided by rabbits. And they get some rather angry customers because of the rabbit states. Anyway, come by the nursery. Check it out. We got all kinds of new house plants, too. Uh-huh. We got all kinds of colors of pansies and violas. Cabbage and kale is coming into vogue, too. We talked about that a little bit, mm-hmm. but the flowering kale is a very attractive plant. Its colors are activated by the cool weather. Mm-hmm. So they look kind of bland and blasé right now, but when it starts to cool down, they look really, really good. And before you plant them, you want to make sure to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Larry. As always, have yourself a spectacular weekend. We've got news coming up.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville.